Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. All right, make your smile available for your seatmate, please. You know, to brighten our day. Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. This is the church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. I am Pastor Hazel Bates, your clergy liturgist, together with Kelly Myers and Rose Bledsoe as the worship leaders this morning, and Ms. Susanne Everett for the mission moment. Pastor Lindsay will continue to preach the sermon series on renewed, as she will be speaking today about renewed in trust. You'll find connection card in your bulletin, and we want to know you and get connected to you, and you can check some of the ministry opportunities at the back, and you can sign them up. We want to pray for you as well by signing up the prayer card, and you can place both the connection card and prayer card in the offering plate later. And if we have kids over here, you can join the Sunday school, and if you want to stay, yes, you may. For our announcements, you're invited to study the difficult word of Jesus and explore how some of difficult teachings of Jesus during his time to be understood or being understood by those people in his time. And the book is available in the library for just $11. And Ash Wednesday will be on February 18th. This coming Wednesday, 7 in the evening. We know that Ash Wednesday marks the start of Lent, a season of reflection, repentance, and renewal. So everyone is invited to pause for a while from our busy lives, come as you are, and be part of this sacred season of worship and prayer with a heart open for transformation. And the next announcement, Mothers Leading Mothers, that will be February 24 at 8 in the afternoon, in the evening by Zoom. And as it says, it is a supportive and encouraging community for mothers. I'm not a mom, but I'm a fur mom. A mom, you know, for everyone. And we can say, only mothers understand mothers. And it meets online because it says you're busy and the kids are in bed. So far, they have three sessions scheduled, February 24, March 24, and April 28. So register and be heard. Celebrate motherhood, be inspired, be an encouragement, and grow together. Amen. So, as Jean used to say, pancake dinner. Pancake dinner will be on Tuesday from 5 to 7 in the evening. All donations will help defray the cost of materials on the home repair projects when the team goes to Kentucky in the fall. And prayers for justice, peace, and healing will be happening on February 25. It's Wednesday. At 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. here at the church. There will have an ecumenical and interfaith worship service and march in Washington, D.C. for a public call for the humane treatments of immigrants. I find this very significant. You know why? Because I'm an immigrant. Legally. But why I need to bring my green card with me all the time? Because what's going on around us brings fear to me. I might be misidentified, right? Because I'm Asian. How much more those people who are being harassed? That's why we want to be part of this event. So today we will tie a prayer quilt and pray for justice for immigrants and those who offer support. Pastor John will travel to D.C. to take our prayer quilts, and you are invited to travel there also if you are able. If you cannot go to D.C., you are invited to come to a prayer service here in our sanctuary at the same time as the Washington service on Wednesday morning on 25th of February. So plan to come here at 10 a.m. and invite your friends. We will be praying at the same time with the people all over the country. On March 1 to 8, at 4:30 in the afternoon, there's a new membership or member class, and my husband is part of this class because he is not a UMC member. So to fully understand how to be a UMC member, our beliefs, our doctrines, and our history, please join the class that will be on March 1 to 8. Please stand for the opening hymn.
Good morning. Let us lift up our hearts and voices as we join in the opening prayer. Lord God of heaven and earth, we are grateful for your presence with us today and always. Give us faith to trust what you say and be our guide throughout this life. We give you our joys and our sorrows, and we place our concerns in your hands. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's scripture reading is from Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 5 and 11 through 12. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is for but a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. It is wonderful to be with you. Thank you, Kelly, for reading our scripture lesson this morning. I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that serve the congregation alongside Pastor Hazel and Pastor Lynn and Deacon Loretta and Pastor John. And it is good to be with you this morning. As I shared with the worship team, I said, y'all, I welcome your prayers this morning because my head is in the high school gym down the street. My daughter's having a jump rope competition this morning, so my head is in the gym there, counting jump rope moves, and I welcome your prayers for me to be here, and I am good, glad to be with you, but my brain keeps wandering and checking text messages, how you doing? But speaking of sports, who all is watching those Olympics? Amen, amen. Okay, let's pray, and let's get back to those Olympics. Let's think about that. Oh, good and gracious God, as we gather and worship this beautiful Sunday, whether it's online or in person here, we gather with thankful hearts. And so, God, help us this day to take a deep breath in and experience your love and your mercy and your grace. And as we exhale it out, Lord, help us to get rid of all that binds us and holds us, that pulls us back from fully loving you and loving our neighbor. And Lord, help us to exhale that worries and those woes and those things that distract. May we be renewed in your trust this day, renewed in strength, renewed in purpose, renewed in your grace. Oh, you God who call us your beautiful, beloved children, may you speak to me and through me. In Christ's name, amen. Oh, those Olympics, have you been hooked? Have you been hooked? Did you watch the opening Olympics? And then have you been finding little clips to go back to? Or are you watching it live? We are watching all sorts of stuff at our house, from the figure skating to we can't wait to watch more bobsledding and the luge and the skiing. All of the Winter Olympics are in full thrust. And it's amazing as you watch those athletes. They must really trust their abilities, don't they? And they must really trust their teammates, and I think they must really trust God if they're going down these amazing steep slopes and, you know, skiing way out over there. But I wonder if they ever have some doubts, too. Or is it just trust 100% of the time? What about you? Do you ever have some doubts, or is it just trust 100% of the time? Sometimes when our trust is feeling a little shaky, it's maybe because our fears are feeling a little bit high. I'm sure those Olympic athletes have these moments when their fears are feeling a little bit high. Do you ever have fears? I know you have fears in life. I have fears in life. What do you fear? What keeps you up at night or puts a little pit in your stomach? What do you fear? It's not just those Halloween movies and those haunted houses every year, but sometimes there's very real fears that we experience in life. Whether it's because we like to strive for safety and security, and or maybe it's because we have the fear of, like, we're not good enough somehow, or we're not doing enough. Or do you ever have a fear that that worst nightmare might actually come true? Are you ever like me, where you play the worst case scenario in your mind? Oh, sometimes that happens. It can be kind of funny, the worst case scenarios that we can drum up in our mind. Or do you ever have a fear of the unknown and you just really like it when life can be predictable and it can be patterned and we can have a little bit control and we don't have to worry about surprises in life? But that's not how it goes, is it? Sometimes our fears are deep-seated things that we don't even like to say out loud, or maybe we just whisper quietly to God. Sometimes when our fear is high, it's because our trust is low. Do you find it hard to trust? Do you find it hard to trust? Have you ever been hurt by somebody where you feel like you can't trust someone or some situation, or maybe you can't trust yourself or you can't trust God? And that's what we're going to be exploring here this morning. So I want to take us through three really great gospel readings on top of the psalm reading that we heard. I want us to think about trusting a little bit more. Maybe we need to start with trusting ourselves this morning. Now, I'm going to take us to the Gospel of Matthew. So if you want to find it in your Bible, that's you're welcome to, or on your phone, you can pull that out. Type in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 25. There's this story of Jesus being out with his disciples out on some water. We're Michiganders, we know the good bodies of water, so look up Matthew 14, verse 25. I'm starting here. We're going to discover Jesus in a rather surprising way. Matthew 14, verse 25. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. The them is the disciples, and the he is Jesus. Early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But the disciples saw him walking in the sea, and they were terrified, saying, "Is that a ghost?" And they cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." But Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. He started walking on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him, and he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And they got into the boat, and the wind ceased, and those in the boat, they worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." If you've ever been out on Lake Michigan and you've seen somebody walking on water, my goodness, it must be a frozen pond. But the scripture lesson takes us to this story at the Sea of Galilee, and here they are in the wind and the waves, and Jesus is walking before them, and they name this fear. Who is that? Is that a ghost? It's not. It's Jesus again. Now what is he up to? And so Peter, he kind of gets a little cocky, doesn't he? Come on out onto the water, and he comes, and Jesus comes. And just as he steps out, he starts to have a doubting moment. We know gravity, it pulls you down. He's not supposed to be elevated on this water unless it's frozen Lake Michigan. And he starts to go down, and he starts to have a moment of doubt. Who's he doubting in that moment? I always like to look at this passage and think, maybe he's doubting Jesus, but I think he's doubting himself. Jesus called him out of that boat, and so he must have believed in him. But Peter in this moment has this moment where he doubts himself. He starts to go off into this logical moment, but Jesus called him. And Jesus is up for all sorts of peculiar things at times, and Jesus calls him out of that boat. And in this instant, he has courage, but then Peter starts to doubt. He starts to doubt himself, thinking he's not good enough, thinking he couldn't do it, thinking, "Oh, what on earth am I doing?" And he starts to pay attention to those sources around him, the wind or the waves or the things that start to distract him, and he starts to doubt. He doubts himself. You ever walking through life and you're doing pretty good? You maybe even are hearing God tug at your heart in some way to call you to something, maybe not walking on water, but you think, "Well, sure, I could do that. I could make a difference. I could step forth. I could answer that call." And then all of a sudden, you start making a laundry list of reasons. "Oh, well, hold on a second. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not the right age. Maybe I don't have the right qualifications. I'm not sure. And you start to doubt. And you start to have a little fear. And you start to stop trusting your abilities. But the God of the universe, the God of all of creation, sees you and calls you his beloved. You, y'all, every single person here in this room is a beautiful, beloved child of God with unique skills and talents and abilities to change this world, to be change makers, to share your love and to share your light. And Jesus calls you out of that boat to stop doubting yourself and to start trusting the one who made you and knows you and calls you his beloved. Believe in yourself. Jesus certainly does. Do you ever doubt Jesus, though? Do you ever doubt God? This brings us to the second gospel reading I want us to take a look at this morning. This is coming from, grab your phone again, type it in if you're using the online Bible, or pull out your Bible itself, Mark chapter 5. We're looking at Mark chapter 5, verse 25 is where we're starting. This one explores, perhaps we need to play with more of the trusting of Jesus himself. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. So on Wednesday night, our Bible study group, we looked at this biblical text, and I want you to hear it as well. Mark 5, verse 25. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from the flow of blood for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard about Jesus, and she came up to him behind him in a crowd, and she touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but just touch his cloak, I will be made well." And immediately her flow of blood, it stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about into the crowd and said, "Who touched my cloak?" The disciples said to him, "You see this crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched my cloak?'" But he looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came forward in fear and trembling, fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." I approach this story with tenderness and great care, knowing that the healing stories that we read about in the gospel, sometimes we pray that that would happen in our own lives. It's not for lack of faith that we maybe don't experience healing. God works through doctors in modern day medicine. In the time in the society that Jesus lived and this woman was living, she would have been labeled unclean. She'd been bleeding, experienced this bleeding for 12 years, and she was a woman, and so she was an outcast. She was considered unclean. As the woman, she would have received her dignity or her worth through the male lineage, through her husband or through her father. And so this woman is quite risky. She does something quite risky. She approaches Jesus. She touches his cloak, and she seeks that healing. She's pretty risky to go out amongst the crowd. She wasn't supposed to be there. She was unclean. She was supposed to distance herself from those around her. She shouldn't have been welcomed in. And she did this risky thing, this really determined mindset before her to experience that healing and just to reach out to Jesus. And instead of receiving humiliation, instead of being rejected, and instead of being pushed aside, she was embraced by Jesus. Did you catch that she was called daughter? Like a child of God? And she experienced this miraculous healing in its own way. But she was embraced and she was loved, and it was risky. She knew that she could reach out to Jesus and trust that she would be welcomed and loved and accepted And that's the beautiful thing that I want us to think about this morning. Do we ever trust that we are truly God's beloved? Do we ever trust that we could really be welcomed in? Or do we think that we're just not good enough and that somehow God will push us away? In her case, she did experience a miraculous healing, but I want us to think about the bold thing she did in reaching out to Jesus. And Jesus didn't go along with the crowd and say, "Oh, you unclean woman, you're fit to be over there." She embraced him with open arms. If you ever doubt that you're not good enough, may you trust that the one that knows you and loves you calls you beloved. And you're always welcome near Jesus to know him just a little bit more. How might you trust Jesus this day? Oh, we've all had relationship conflicts, haven't we? Things that have gone up and down a little bit. The last thought I wanted us to think about is trusting others. Maybe we can grow in our trust of ourselves, grow in our trust of God, or our trust of Jesus, but what do we do with this trusting of others? And so I think about a parable. I'm guessing you've heard of this. It's popular in even secular society. The parable of the prodigal son. We come, I'm looking up Luke 15, starting at verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. As the son has gone off and made poor choices in life and screwed up and discovers he's amongst the pigs working there, and he decides to come back and reconnect with his father. He's taken this great inheritance from his dad and he's squandered it on all sorts of interesting choices in life. And now that he's kind of gone his separate way from his dad, he decides to come back and reconcile and make amends. And we discover something pretty amazing. Picking up here at verse 20. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, "Why, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quickly bring the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate, because the son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found." And so together they began to celebrate. Trusting of others can be hard when relationships have experienced points of discord. Is there a person in your heart and your mind that you feel like it's hard to trust? Has there been some type of relationship rift? Has there been a hurt? Has there been a situation that hasn't gone quite right? For the son and for the father in this situation, the father would have been deeply hurt and the son really royally screwed up. And yet in that moment, when the father saw his son, he had his arms wide open, ready to embrace him in that party, ready to be planned, and there was grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So too is this amazing model, if we can imagine the father in here as our heavenly father and we are the son. We know that I know there's certainly that I do to screw up life and hurt God. And yet time and time again, God is ready with God's arms wide open, ready to embrace. How can you lean in to trusting others a little bit more? How might you consider reaching out to somebody this week to reconcile a relationship or begin to open the door for conversation that hasn't quite been going well? Is God tugging at your heart to begin trusting somebody yet again? I don't know. On this journey of life and on this journey of faith, it's not always easy, is it? There's ups and there's downs, but I pray that your strength may be renewed, that your faith may be renewed, and that the one who knows you and calls you beloved, that you may cling to that and that you might be renewed in trust. believing in yourself and believing most of all in God and seeking to explore how we might trust and reconcile with those perhaps that we've had rocky relationships with. This day and this week, I pray that you'll find a moment to pause and be still with God. And maybe you'll be able to think again about these stories, about the prodigal son and where you find yourself in the story, about the woman in the crowd and where you find yourself in the story, and lastly, where you find yourself in the story of Peter and Jesus walking on water. May your trust be renewed and strengthened this day. Let's pray. Oh, good and gracious God, the call of discipleship is hard and trust, hard and tough, and yet it calls us to trust you abundantly. So if we are feeling weary and worn this day, may we find inspiration and hope from you. May we cling to the stories of Scripture that lead us and teach us and stretch us. And may we see with new eyes this day and hear with new hearts this day, as we seek to follow you always. In Christ's name, amen.
Humbly and framed in a mortal and breakable. This is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Lord of all, on this Transfiguration Sunday, remind us of the glow that can shine even through us, whom you love. With your help and with sustaining hope, we can transform ourselves and the world with love, remembering that it will be a very gradual process. Centuries are but days in your vision, and the world has changed slowly over that time, though many still struggle daily with the injustices of man's inhumanity to man. As the renewed sermon series has highlighted, God's people look for encouragement in the Bible when life feels overwhelming or broken, even when hopeful and joyful. God meets us where we are and helps transfigure and transform us from the inside out. Gracious and merciful God, gather within your arms the families and friends of those who needlessly perished this past week in British Columbia and at South Carolina University, and bring peace to the family of Nancy Guthrie. For the millions of other personal tragedies and losses, we know you grieve with us. Help us to find comfort in your love and in the support of those around us. Place a blanket of protection over those who desperately need shelter, nourishment, and care. And fuel the rescuers and caregivers with passion and empathy. Bless these beautiful quilts that will be infused with prayers and love for Bonnie, Lynn, and Amara from our beloved community of Christian Fellowship. We will pray next week over a specially created justice, peace, and healing quilt that will travel to Washington, D.C. on February 25th. We now lift up in silence our own concerns and joys. As we leave behind the day assigned for love, let the spirit of Saint Valentine live within us. May joy and the hope of coming spring flow through us as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
May I ask the ushers to come? The Lord has been delighted with this church, how ministries continues, how missions had been achieved, how people are being blessed, because this church never stopped being faithful and good stewards, never stopped sharing and giving. May God continue to bless you as you as you share. Amen.
Good morning. Last month, I invited you to participate in this year's Advocacy Day, the statewide Advocacy Day happening March 18th through the Michigan Conference. That invitation stands. You can still register for that. But today I am up here to invite you and ask each of you to write a letter to your representative and senator that we will personally then deliver to their offices in Lansing on March 18th. As a congregation, we put our faith into action in many ways. We've shared our resources with local food banks. In fact, last year we donated over 3,000 pounds of food plus monetary donations and volunteer hours. I think that's wonderful. Good job. Now, as people of faith, we're asking our elected leaders to expand and their support for food security in the state budget. 1 in 6 adult Michiganders struggles with food security, according to the 2023 census. As food prices have increased, wages have not kept up, leading to increasing hunger and food insecurity. After the service today, please come and find me in the library, which is straight out through these doors, the two sets of doors, off the community room. And I have made it very easy for you. I have pre-printed letters. I have QR codes. Thanks, Rick Slade, for that idea. And I have an easy way for you to figure out who your representative and senators are if you don't know. And parents, please, please help your children participate in this process too. I have a basic letter that children can sign and decorate. So help them read it and understand that the letters they write are important and their voice is important in our civic society. So that helps them connect to the need and learn that there are many ways we can all help our neighbors. So thank you, and I will meet you in the library.
Let us pray. Lord God, we bring our offerings to you today. We trust that you will guide us in using them to grow your ministry of peace and love in a world so often filled with hate, so that we can bring joy to your creation. Amen.
would invite you to a time of fellowship and a time of connecting. I hope you will go find somebody that you maybe haven't visited for a while. That's lovely, but really I hope you'll go introduce yourself to somebody you haven't had a chance to connect with. Maybe you look for somebody to have a good new conversation with and introduce yourself and share your name. And now may you go forth with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit helping you to trust. Trust in yourself. You've got this. Trust in God. God's got you. And explore some conversations to trust in others again if you've been hurt. Go forth this day in God's blessing. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.